God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Good evening, my friends. I'm a little weary these days from an exhausting trip into the unknown that was disguised as familiar things. One of the reasons for staying in good physical shape is the demands that can be made upon you when you encounter the unexpected, such as having to walk a number of kilometers a number of times in the course of moving around, and also carting the usual bag of items you assumed you would need for your trip and which you never do need. I think of that bag as being like the bag filled with our past words and actions, which we're always carrying with us until we discover the way to set it down and walk away. Buddha said that all life is pain caused by ignorant desire. Kierkegaard said something about suffering being at the core of the evolution of all life. I guess what this means is that pain causes us to grow and to open up or to become increasingly more shielded from the possibilities of life touching us in unpleasant ways. I did something a couple of days ago that was kind of a triumph for me. I displayed to myself and to others that I could extemporaneously take hold of an audience for a short time and then have the good sense to walk off the stage at a high point and not think that staying longer would make the result even more powerful. I was counterpointed by other speakers who each spoke longer than the length of an average movie. That was supposed to be average movie. They spoke on detailed phenomena that requires a certain amount of animation in the presentation to keep hold of the attention of one's audience. That's a rare gift, and it was not in evidence for the most part. What I did was very unlike what others do, though there wasn't any conflict in our points of view. Shit, that rhymed. Anyway, however, it's the kind of contrast that can make for bad feeling among some, and I have found from previous events in other places that it's near impossible not to generate some bad feeling if your material is controversial. I haven't wanted to be on the stage in a long time, though I never spent that much time on stages to begin with. As time has passed, I have become more reluctant to do so, for reasons I won't go into. I know this is something I'm going to be doing more of in the future. Opportunities are coming up, and I'm meeting people who have a lot to do with making these kind of opportunities occur. I hope you will forgive me for publishing tonight's radio address as a visible origami post. I'll go into detail about this at Reflections in a Pastry Dish in the next few days. The truth is, I don't have the juice right now to do all the things I should do after being away. Usually my radio shows are composed of a collection of talking points that I can expand on, but for this one, I'll write a complete piece. This will be easier for me, too. This is the metaphysical end of what I do, and I like to talk about the difficulties involved in talking about difficult subjects. The event I attended was a 9/11 seminar, and there were some experts on hand, both from the world of science and general academia. These people are more controlled than I am, and it's usual thing for me to wind up in a more controversial position than other people. Because I do not know how to change what I am in this particular regard, I've made it a point to stay away from public events. Most people like to stay within certain guidelines, and in most cases they shy away from saying what's central to something like 9/11. It's that the 800-pound gorilla in the room is there, and everyone pretends it's not there. The event took place in a pristine setting in wealthy Switzerland, and you have to know something about the Swiss in order to get a better view of what happened. I'm not sure I can do that without saying things that would trouble some who hear them. This is the main point of what I'm trying to say, but I'm not sure I will be able to say. The point is, the real truth always has a Rashomon-like quality to it. The people involved in any event never have the same recollection of what took place. They can't even agree on how the mountains looked. And it's a rare thing for anyone to know who they are. The thing is, I don't know how to talk about what I encountered, because even though what I would say would be pretty accurate, there would be no way that I could spare people's feelings, and that is the dilemma that is on my mind this evening. How do you tell the truth in a way that can be helpful to the people you're speaking about, and the people you are speaking to without causing them to instinctively run for cover because some element of what they say and do is being challenged. Because these people knew who I was, and this was surprising to me, I didn't realize that my work had come to the attention of people in the mainstream, but they knew my position about certain issues. So I went to a certain person and I said, I know that you know what I think about such and such, and that this is how what happened happened and who was involved, but I won't mention this tonight. The man responded with a thank you and told me that one of the things he admired about me was that I wasn't afraid to say certain things. But we don't say these things here. So I didn't. What I did was to explain in a stand-up comedy sort of a way that there was something I couldn't talk about, and I wanted to talk about that without talking about it. This turned out to be pretty funny and still got the job done. Excuse me. Yeah, at least I'm not saying, all the time. There was press there and some number of cameras, so everyone was recorded. There was even someone there from the Italian press, which surprised me, and it was well attended given that it took place outside of an urban setting. I think back on having attended this thing, and a part of me wishes I didn't attend, and I'm considering I never will attend such a thing again, because I see that I am unpredictable to myself even, and that it is not such a good thing in places where you cannot speak your mind, and these places are encompassing most of the known world now. Yeah, I think it went well this time, but there was a hairline of possibility between what I did and what I might have done. And I saw again what I used to know about myself, which is that once I'm in front of a microphone, there is no telling what's going to happen. Sometimes it's outrageous, and that would qualify on this occasion, especially when you consider that it was said to a crowd of Swiss people. This was okay. It was sort of like Elmer Gantry walking into a watchmaker's convention so that the humor aspect shielded the reverse pickpocketing that I was up to, where instead of taking something, you insert something. When I went off the stage, a lot of people followed me outside, and I was surrounded by a ring of people. This, I know, did not sit well with others who were also present, and who had a higher profile than me, much greater name recognition, and certainly more money. As much as I might have upset certain stolid personality types, the promoters were very pleased, and one thing I noted was a conversation at the end of the evening which involved people who were invited as possible financial contributors. I heard a couple of them say they would be more inclined to assist if there were more people like me and if I would come back. Later, a couple of them asked me if I would return and were pretty clear about appreciating what I had to say. There are risks to the loose cannon persona, but there is also freedom that no amount of informed, monotonal repetition of dry minutia can compete with. I can get extremely wild, and that's not something you see much of in Switzerland. However, for the rest of the evening, I was engaged in conversation with a younger set, those who attended and who didn't want to be listening to the minutia. If you have some familiarity with German, you can go to Alles Schall und Rock, a blog spot, but if you can't find the website, go to Visible Origami and click on the link that's right here in the dialogue, which I actually put up this time so that the Visible Origami piece is reflected in what you're hearing. I'm just reading it off the page, my friends, so there it is. And you can see a general report on what took place. You'll note I'm not mentioned at all, and I am not surprised by that. Association with me and my controversial views is not desirable. I traveled by train to this event, which involved 16 hours or more both ways. My time at the event was less than either of the train rides. What sticks in my mind in the aftermath is how people who want to present the truth will go to great lengths to avoid the truth at the same time. There's an old quote that little knowledge is dangerous, and what that means is that if you only have part of the picture, then the part you don't have or won't admit to can be dangerous to you and others should they be traveling with your incomplete roadmap. Once again, I wish I hadn't gone, even though my mailbox today was filled with emails upon my return by people who had heard me. It was successful in that way, but unsuccessful in the sense that I know I pissed some people off. Some people want everything to be neat and orderly, and the Swiss are masters at that. you sacrifice a certain amount of important liberty as a result, and you become increasingly more insulated too. One thing I've seen in Switzerland is that if it begins to rain, even just a little bit, you see hundreds, sometimes thousands of umbrellas open up on the street as if it were some sort of collective celebratory response. But obviously it's not celebration. It's a fear of contact with timeless elements in the face of a guaranteed mortality. So what's the payoff? I don't know. I don't know what the payoff is. It's my nature to shock people. And that is why I stay away from people generally. They say they want the truth, but they don't. Not really. They want an acceptable and accommodating version of the truth. The problem with this is that they get into the ascendant, as sooner or later, any movement with a particular groundswell will, well, they turn out to be just as compromised as whatever they replaced. I'm not saying that this is true in this particular case, but Kierkegaard also said that boredom, boring people, is a great crime. Whatever gets reported about the event, I was there and I know what I saw. I saw the same thing I used to see in any organization, anytime, anywhere, and that is what they accommodate, what caused the problems in the first place, so that they can eventually become a new problem all of their own. The truth is uncompromising. It doesn't take sides. The truth is not about making you feel good unless the truth makes you feel good to begin with. The truth demands that the truth be given the highest regard, because when it is not, then it's no longer the truth, is it? I don't know what people expect to accomplish by telling only part of the story and avoiding the most essential aspects. This is something I don't get, and I never will. And it is why I'm a veritable recluse. If you invite me anywhere, you'd better know that I'm not going to play along. I just can't do it, and it will come out in different ways. Sometimes it's going to be pretty fiery, depending on how much rubbish is there to burn. Very few people like the truth. As I've said in other places, this is why Lord Shiva is never invited to weddings and the usual celebrations. What he is unwelcome when time and history have shown us how futile and corruptible our promises are to each other. I genuinely like the people I met. I am naturally inclined to like people. People are not naturally inclined to like me. I do not play to their vanities, and I do not reflexively agree just because it's the mannerly thing to do. I'll never be a diplomat. I'll always, well, never mind. I've always been able to grab a microphone and just go off. I don't need a script or even a premise, and if you give me a little trio of musicians, then so much the better. But I don't play into my own vanity either. The key to knowing and telling the truth is that the first requirement is that you don't buy into your own bullshit. So I keep it to myself, but I'm not going to get to do that much longer, or so I'm told. And so it is going to be a little uneasy at every step of the way, because the traditional sorts who have dominated both ends of the spectrum are not going to be the people that lead us into the next stage, because the next stage is not traditional. It may become traditional over time, the very things that the founding fathers warned us against, which will happen to every movement, no matter how noble, because sooner or later, Cromwell and his bureaucrats, along with a plague of lawyers, are going to show up and shut down the very voices that the movement was founded on. Sooner or later, the corruptibility of money and power moves in on the scene, and for some reason, all of these part-time idealists never see this, never want to see it. The truth, like the cheese, stands alone. And the highways of history are littered with the failed ambitions and broken commitments of those who took it upon themselves to profit from the truth and to stand for the truth when they couldn't even stand for themselves when the time came. I'm a little discouraged and a great deal inspired by what I saw. I don't think I'm ever going to be welcome in too many places, and I'm not half as outrageous as Hunter Thompson and William Burroughs were. What got them cachet is that they never mentioned God, nor made any pretense of spirituality. This is what got Henry Miller such an audience by writing bad pornography. I'm wondering if the real problem is that most people just don't get the sex they need. And the greater problem is that they wouldn't know what to do with it if it showed up in the first place. And this goes back to the spirituality thing. Unless God is your lover, no matter what body you are discovering it in, you will not have the keys to unlock the body upon which your attention is given. And that brings me back to the most compelling feature about the event and about life itself. If you don't have love, you have nothing. And if you do have love, then you give it away. You discommode yourself on every occasion simply to show the beloved that not even life is worth keeping if you can give it all away on what matters the most. And most people are not inclined or equipped in this direction. Most people will not discommode themselves that far. In any life, for those seeking such camaraderie, you will meet only a handful of kindred spirits, and at the end of your life, when they want you to give it all, they want to give you all these awards, and they want you to know how they were behind you all the way. You got no interest in awards. It was already the greatest honor to know that there was a source for being and that you chose to find it. For all the short-time gains that I've noticed in these places, the serious disappointments outweigh them by a large extent. You find that people will tolerate you while you're there, but the sooner you get out of town, the better. The structure of the civilization itself, is opposed to your presence. They'll let you have your say, but the continuum continues, as it always has. Our true kingdom of being is not here, the same way that be here now does not mean be here now, or even be here then. We shape what is into what we desire, and so we kill the thing itself, or rather we kill ourselves by our avoidance of what makes us immortal. Being that I am such a character and witness of that on which I speak, I will tell you, the loneliness of the road is generally too much for people in pursuit of the glory beyond. It's always been this way, and I can't tell you why. Human nature, nature itself, animal nature transcendent, where it should not be, with too much desire and too little restraint. I don't know. I don't know all the reasons why things don't work out. I'll see you in a fortnight, if there is one. Thank you very much.
God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun